Radio.com Sports presents Bet Sweats with Joe Ostrowski, breaking down the latest in sports betting.
Bet Sweats on Radio.com Sports. Joe Ostrowski, Ross Tucker with you. We're getting you set for this Wednesday afternoon game between the Ravens and the Steelers, and we bring in Jeremy Kahn. You've heard him here on this show before, at Jeremy Kahn 1057 on Twitter, host of The Lowdown on 1057 The Fan in Baltimore, a Radio.com sports station. Jeremy, big day for you. Word is that you're getting a street named after you in the Baltimore area today.
Well, it's not after me, and thanks for having me, guys. If anybody missed it, I'd urge you to go watch it. The NFL Network did a piece on their NFL 360 on a super fan we got in Baltimore named Mo Gabba, and he was a caller into my radio show that I befriended, and I actually did a radio show with him. He's been blind his whole life, and he passed away from cancer earlier this year at the end of July. So we've been doing a ton of stuff, including that NFL Network piece. ESPN did a piece on him. We have a talking bobblehead coming out in January. It's kind of been my passion to make sure that his legacy lives on. And if you're watching Ravens games when they're at home in Baltimore, the MO is painted a different color to honor him this year. So, yeah, I've got a street being named after him today. And what people in this town don't know is the governor put together a proclamation to make December 2nd Mo Gabba Day in Baltimore. So it's going to be really cool.
Wow, that is cool, Jeremy. Very cool.
Thanks.
I guess I got to start with this. What is the reaction of people in Baltimore right now about what's going on over the last week or so?
Well, I mean, everything's been crazy here. I know for me personally, my radio show has been moved about 70 different times, and then I'm working
different
times.
Me too.
doing our post-game show. It's like, what the hell's going on here, man? Because the whole thing to me is crazy. I don't know what the right answer is. It seems like the Ravens have become villains of the league because I don't know if they're getting per se preferential treatment. It looks that way. I mean, if you make the Broncos play with no quarterback and you make the 49ers play with all those guys on the COVID list, I mean, can you make the Ravens play them with all the issues they had? I think the bigger issue was they were having a hard time tracing because of this strength and conditioning coordinator that they couldn't figure out who all was testing positive, and then we saw it. I mean, it's been positive tests every single day since then, including yesterday, where initially they came out and said no positive tests, and now this is what we're dealing with. And we get this game at 3:40 today, which because they got to light a damn tree in New York. So you figure it out. But, yeah, I mean, people in Baltimore are just, you know, they're bitching about Steeler fans bitching, and it goes back and forth. And I mean, again, I don't know what the right answer is, but I'm finally glad that this is over with. They're playing, and then we'll see them on Tuesday against the Cowboys.
Jeremy, before we get into all these specific matchups going on this afternoon, big picture-wise, losing 3 of 4 coming into this tough game against Pittsburgh, the world thinks they're going to lose, and they're going to be a 6-5 team heading into the final stretch. But you look at that stretch in the tough AFC, it includes Dallas, Jacksonville, New York Giants, and Cincinnati. You've got to assume that they're going to make the postseason because, boy, your phone lines will be lit up for a long time if they don't. Let's say they get in with one of those wild card spots. Do you think they can do anything?
I do. I mean, it's all going to depend on matchups because, let's be honest, I mean, you can look at it any way you want, and I'm not this purple color glasses Raven fan. I mean, I try to call it like I see it, and I care more about where I place my wager than what team wins, unless I'm betting on said team. But the Ravens December sets up amazing for them with Cleveland, who might be the most fraudulent 8-3 team in the league. Not that they can't beat the Ravens or anything like that, but you also have four teams that potentially could be drafting in the top seven, depending on who wins that dumpster fire of a division that is the NFC East. So they should definitely win four of those games. Can they go 4-1 and get in the postseason? And my favorite thing that could possibly happen is they get in the postseason and somehow, some way, meet up a third time with the Steelers. And that could be very interesting for all that's gone on in this past week. But, yeah, I do think they can make something happen and get in. I just don't know. I mean, maybe they can get hot in December. They've had so many injuries, and everything that can go wrong has gone wrong with the Ravens this year. So, I mean, your guess is as good as mine, but I just don't think the AFC is that strong outside of Kansas City. And I think Pittsburgh's a good team. I'm not, you know, I know they're undefeated, but I don't think the Ravens fear facing them in the postseason or Tennessee, who, I mean, for three quarters, the Ravens looked phenomenal and then spit the bit in the fourth like they've done multiple times. So I guess we'll see what happens with that. But I do think they're a, they're a live dog. If you wanted to bet them now, and what are they, like 25-1 to win the Super Bowl? But, you know, they've been a very average team the past month.
So, Jeremy, what is the issue when you look at the Ravens? I know you talk about it, I'm sure, every day. Everybody calls in. Why aren't they like they were last year?
I mean, it's a combination of everything, right? I think Greg Roman's getting too cute with the play calling. I've been screaming about that since the third week of the season. Like, you know, what are they doing? I don't understand. You had the most dominant run game in the history of the league last year, and you come out and you're throwing it 60 to 70% of the time. And I know the analytics are telling you that the advantages are passing the football, but, like, for me, if I'm the Ravens, I make teams force me to throw the ball, go out and run the football. And you drafted a running back in the second round, for crying out loud, and then they're sprinkling in touches. Like, you get 7 carries, you'll get 6, you'll get 8. It's like, pick your running backs and roll with them. Let these cats get into a rhythm. Injuries have plagued them, not to make excuses for them. Everybody has them, but they've come at the most inopportune times. You know, you got to stop Derrick Henry, and you have no defensive tackles. You got to, you know, you have the COVID issues now, and then you're facing the Steelers. Or, I mean, you can just look on and on with all the things that have gone wrong. You lose Nick Boyle to an injury. Now Lamar Jackson's out because of COVID. Marlon Humphrey missed a game. I mean, it's been a lot of different things. I really think the Ravens' defense could carry them if they get healthy at the right time, especially in December. But this offense has just been dreadful, and Lamar looks like he did in year one, where they were winning games with that ball control. I mean, let's be honest. It was an option offense, for crying out loud. But they were dominating time of possession and winning games his rookie year. But, you know, he had his issues throwing outside the hashes, you know, and also holding onto the ball too long, maybe taking sacks and all the other things that have gone on, those sidearm passes that he's reverted back to. I think he's regressed a little bit, and they're going to have to figure that out in the offseason.
Jeremy, Ravens are getting 10, total down to 42. Does the sider total interest you?
You know what? And I hate saying this because you're bringing me on to talk about this. I hate this game. I hate it because, like, if I wanted to look at the total, and I think points will be scored, the one thing I know about the Ravens is, and why they're so hard to predict totals with, is they can take the air out of the ball and run the crap out of it and wind up getting 3-0 on these long-ass drives. Or, you know, they can break off, and you saw what they did to the Steelers last time, and the Steelers really the past couple weeks haven't stopped the run all that well for being so good against the run. And the Ravens kind of went out, and you had two backs almost run for 100 yards against them. So I think they're going to come in and run the football. I can't believe if I were forced to take something this game, I think I would take the Ravens plus the points, because in this rivalry, I've just seen some strange stuff happen with Dennis Dixon taking over for the Steelers and taking them to overtime, or Ryan Mallett, a backup quarterback, coming in and winning a game against the Steelers. I mean, it's been a really weird series where the games typically come down to 3 points. I'm not telling you that's the case, but 10 points seems like a lot to me.
Jeremy, what about I feel like
you do have this glow.
I feel like I'm like the chosen one with the sunlight coming in. I will try to fix this while Jeremy's talking, but I like the I feel like the chosen one. Jeremy, my question is, RG3, how do you think he'll do? And what do you think about the 169-yard passing prop bet for him?
I mean, if you're thinking they're going to trail, I would take the over there. I mean, I think he's going to be fine. He's serviceable. I mean, somebody pointed out, it's like, hey, so the strength and conditioning coordinator is the one that got everyone, you know, infected. And RG3, of all the quarterbacks, is he the only guy that's not in the weight room, you know? Like, but no, I think he'll be fine. I mean, he's had his moments where he's come in. He can run the ball as well. And he can come in and run the same sets that Lamar was running to a degree. But, you know, I think he's it's kind of weird saying that. I think he's more of a polished passer at this point of their careers. So, and I'm excited to actually see some of the young receivers they draft to get a little bit more burn out there. So I like the prop bet. I think they could break one, and maybe if the Steelers are coming up trying to stop the run, they hit a few big plays. That's a low number that, again, if they're trailing for most of the game, they're going to have to throw it. So I would like it.
How do you expect Pittsburgh to attack Baltimore here as we look at some of these player props?
Well, I mean, the weird thing is the Steelers haven't been running the football efficiently with Connor, and I know he's not playing. I mean, the way to beat him right now with no defensive tackles up front is to run the football, but the Steelers have had success spreading them out, going 4 and 5 wide and letting Big Ben pick teams apart, getting the ball out quick. I don't know that they're going to need to. I think Wink Martindale pulls out all the stops, and you see all those crazy-ass exotic blitzes that he likes to do. They'll probably go cover 0 as much as they can and just send the house after him. But again, that's a catch 22 because if Big Ben seeing the matchup he likes and he picks you apart, that could be a warm knife through butter. And I'm not trying to talk out of both sides of my mouth here with this game. I really hate this game from a betting standpoint. But you know, that being said, I still think that that's what the Steelers are going to do. They're going to spread them out. It seems like Ben's gotten into a rhythm the past couple games doing that and just making those quick passes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fascinated by it, Jeremy. Look, I don't think anybody really knows what's going to happen. Do you look at something like this and look at it as an opportunity or something to stay away? It sounds like, you said it like five times, but it sounds like this much uncertainty for you is not an opportunity. It's a stay away.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, and I'm a degenerate, like, look, I like to bet on everything. I'd bet on the Christmas tree lighting, the over-under of how long that damn thing takes, or the ratings before I bet on the Ravens game. You know, it just there's just so many intangibles that could happen. And, you know, with the Ravens now announcing Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins, it sounds like there were different outlets reporting that before I jumped on with you guys, that they're not going to play now. And not that I was worried about the run game, period. I mean, Gus Edwards is fine. Justice Hill, you can do some things with him as well. But ultimately, to me, it's that defense that's, I mean, the back end is fine, but up front, you name the players, and then they're fluctuating their offensive line. You've got guards playing tackle, guys that you don't want playing. At 12:30, they're going to announce how many practice squad players are being elevated. I mean, it's just such an ugly game, and I think if you're betting it, you're literally flipping a coin and hoping it lands on the right side for you.
I know you don't love it, but even if they trail, Gus Edwards at 38.5, is that too low?
Oh, way too low. Yeah. I mean, he's going to get a bulk of carries. And last time he ran, I mean, he got a touchdown. What do you have, 87 yards against them? Dobbins ran for over 100. I mean, they're going to go out and try to run the football. And again, if you've looked at the numbers, the Steelers the past 3 weeks haven't done a great job at stopping the run. So I think you're going to see a heavy dose of Gus Edwards. And with the group they have out there, I'm okay with them in run blocking. I'm not okay with them in pass blocking.
You know, that's a really good point, Joe. That's a great example. The news about Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins not playing today, according to Michelle Tafoya, just came out. I don't know if PointsBet has changed it yet, because that makes a huge difference. I mean, Gus Edwards, his total will be like 60 something if they know Dobbins and Ingram aren't playing. So if you can still get that anywhere, I'm sure it just changed, but you got to get in on that for sure. On the over on Gus Edwards, because if Dobbins and Ingram aren't playing, he's the guy.
See, Ross can come out now and say if they change it that he just moved the needle by making that statement on this show. Like he moved Gus Edwards' profit.
Like over.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to easily run for about 70 today. They're going to force feed him the ball. I think the Ravens, in all honesty, not that they're going to forego and not try to win the game or anything. I think they'd be happy getting this game out of the way, getting the hell out of Dodge, and realizing that their season really starts with the Cowboys on Tuesday night. That it, you know, look at your record as 0-0, and go ahead and run the table in December if you can, or at worst, go 4-1, get into the playoffs, and then see what happens.
All right, that's Jeremy Kahn at JeremyKahn1057 on Twitter, host of the Lowdown 1057, the Fan in Baltimore, Radio.com Sports Station, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Check them out on the Radio.com app. Jeremy, have fun with your post game show today, whenever that happens.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right, good stuff from Jeremy Kahn. I think we got some betting angles there to take a look at.